Let's believe God. I've got a message here this morning. It's called Check Up. Amen. Has anybody ever said to you, you need a checkup from the neck up? I know some people said that to me once, but we need a checkup from our feet all the way up. And there's a checklist that we're going to go through, some checkups, because we want to fulfill all that God has for us. How many of you desire God's best for your life? If you just desire just a little bit, guess what? God will meet you at your little. But if you want a little bit more, guess what? He'll meet you at that little bit more. But if you want to go wholeheartedly, well, then bless God, you go wholeheartedly. And I know there's circumstances in people's life that hinder them, but everybody individually. I know I think of my mom always. She married John and got born again right after that, shortly. And my dad said, that's okay, yeah, you can go to church. He let her go to church. They lived their whole life, and he wasn't saved his whole life. His whole life he wasn't saved, but before he died, you know, he got saved, and he accepted the Lord, and he even prayed. I prayed once, and he said, I'm going to pray, and he prayed, and I wouldn't, that's amazing to see an old farmer praying when you knew him all your life, and you knew that you wouldn't think that he would do that, pray, but yet he humbled himself and prayed. And so God works in everybody's lives, amen? So let's pray and let's believe God for the very best for this service, for our lives, and for the grace and gift that he's given you. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you and we bless you this morning. We say thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. We thank you that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We pray for each one of us that you'd open up our eyes to see and our ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us this morning. And we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose, that you have a will and desire, that when you look at that one, when you look at that individual one, that you see that you love them and you just want the very best for them. And I just surround them with faith and love, every single person and those watching by live stream. We surround them with faith and love. And we believe, according to Ephesians, that you'd give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, that we may know, that each one may know what is the hope of their calling, and what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power to usward who believe, according to the working of your mighty power. And we thank you, the same power that wrought Jesus Christ from the dead, that after 3 days in the grave, you brought him up. Holy Spirit, that same power is here with us right now and inside of us and working amongst us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You know, I memorized that prayer in Rhema. They would have that prayer time. And I heard about the Ephesians prayers, and I want to pray them. I didn't know them. So I'd get my Bible, and they would be praying. And I prayed them, and I prayed them until I memorized them. And, you know, I'd say them every day. Help little Jen. Well, actually, I do more papers than her. But anyways, deliver the paper in the morning. I say that prayer. I say, thank you, Father, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of my calling, what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power to usward who believe. You know, spiritual things just don't fall on you like ripe cherries off a vine. They have to be sought after. You've got a hunger and thirst for them. If you're going to receive from God, guess what? God will let you walk down, twiddledee, twiddledo lane and just relaxing and going your merry way. But guess what? He always wants to get your attention to say, hey, there's more. There's more. Brother Hagin gives a story about his own sister and how he prayed diligently. I'm 51. And his sister died at 50. Brother Hagin, prophet of God, died at 50, and he tried his hardest. He prayed her out of death once 5 years previously, so she was 45, and then it came on her again, and he prayed so hard, but she died. He felt so bad that this family member died, and all of a sudden, a beam of light came from heaven, and he went all the way up to heaven, and he saw her sister talking with Jesus. And the sister said, don't feel bad that you couldn't pray the prayer of faith for me. There was a reason. And did you know the reason was, later on, if you listen to his teachings, the reason is that she didn't continually move on in the things of God. You got to get into the Word of God and read the Word, study, come to the meetings. you know, come to hear the word of God and continually grow. And God will allow everybody to do whatever they want to do. But guess what? He also wants them to do his will.
Amen.
Amen. And it's nice that we all get a decision and make a choice. So if she would have studied, did a little reading, come to some of her own brother's meetings, maybe she could have lived a little bit longer. But if she's in heaven, of course, that's great. I'm looking forward to going there one day myself. Amen? Praise God. So we're going to talk about checkup. Amen? And there's the doctor's checkup, but I'm talking about a checkup on a vehicle. How many ever check your oil in your car? You do? Good. Anybody else? There's 2, 3 hands, 4. Anyways, over the span of my life, I know about 2 individuals that didn't check their oil. And guess what? The motor seized because there's no oil in the motor. You need oil in that motor. And so I'm going to check my vehicles as well and make sure that I'm not going to run into that trouble. But if you have a vehicle, guess what? You got to check the oil once in a while. Open the hood and check that dipstick and say, hey, is there any oil in there? Because it's a big machine. It's a big machine. The motor is a machine that pulls that 2,000-pound vehicle down the road, and it needs some oil in between the parts. Otherwise, if there's no oil, guess what? It seizes. It heats right up, and it just seizes. And so with us in the spiritual realm, there's things that we've got to get always check up. Always check up on things and look to our own lives and say, hey, am I... Well, do I got oil in my motor? Is things going to be okay? Do I check up on it once in a while? And so it runs smoothly, so it runs good. It says over in Colossians 4:17, it says, say to Archippus. Well, I guess Archippus was a fellow, just like you and me. But Paul was saying in Colossians, say to Archippus, take heed. Everybody say, take heed. So you take heed to the ministry which you received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. So the Apostle Paul was saying, hey, remember to tell Archippus. Remember to tell that guy, hey, take heed to the ministry that God has given unto you. Take heed to it. Be aware of it and that you want to fulfill it. And so that would be for us, that every one of us, that we should take heed to the things that God has given unto us. I like about the leadership development. Pastor and Miss Anita did the leadership development. How many of you were there on that Sunday evening? And it was kind of fun because they did a little play thing. They got a big sheet of paper for everybody, and they had some magazines, and they told, I heard a story about the chicken soup for the soul. How many ever heard of the chicken soup for the soul? Well, that guy who wrote that book, he had a collage or whatever, and he put him and Orpah, not Orpah, Oprah. He put the beardy girl. But anyways, he put them in the middle, and he put all these money all around it. It's a collage he made, and then he also had a chicken in there somewhere. And he wrote this book, Chicken Noodle Soup for the Soul. I added the noodle. But he wrote that Chicken Noodle Soup for the Soul, and guess what? He had a vision of it, and before everything helped, then in the future time, guess what? He ended up on that show. And that book sold for multi-millions of dollars just because they got a vision. But the part that amazed me is that when we were doing that, I walked around, I looked at people's paper, what they did, what they cut out and put on that collage. Everybody's different. Mine was different than someone else's. I like pastors. I saw pastors. Pastor saw his. He saw a 2,000-member church. Praise God. That's pretty good vision, eh? He saw it on his paper. I seen some people with some lovey-dovey boyfriends that turned good into a husband. I saw that on some papers. I saw people going to Rhema. There was about 3 individuals with red capes on, and they want to go to Rhema. Well, that's amazing. But everybody's picture collage was different. Why? Because everybody's different. And if you had your collage and you made it and said, this is what I want in life, no holds back, this is what I desire, that gets me excited because it really burns me when I find people that say, oh, they can't. You know, sometimes, you know, I got married when I was 30 years old. And to me, that's way too long. That was personally. Anyways, but I've seen other people be older in life. And, well, there's a 60 couple getting married, so it's never too late. But anyways, they say, oh, I'm too old. You know, I wanted to. Well, I wanted to is God's purpose in your spirit, in your life. You should have took that wanted to and find some scriptures. Amen? And hold fast to it. Or they could say, you know, I wanted to be healed. Hey, there's a want to. Why? Because God put that in your spirit. He put it in you. It didn't come there just by chance. And it burns me when people don't get to fulfill what God's called them to do. And it belongs on the paper, amen? It belongs there because God designed you from the foundation of the world. When he looked at you, he saw exactly who you are. Every shape, every color, every desire. Personally, that's why I think we can't look. The Bible says you can't look at Father God in the face, not at this moment anyways, and live. Why? Because he's probably multicolored. He's probably just like an illumination guy. He's probably, why? Because he's black, and he's white, and he's red, and he's yellow. Amen? And he's Ojibwe, and he's Ukrainian, and he's Polish, and he's Finnish, and he's every other kind of ish. Amen? He's everything, because that's what God is. He's multi-dimension, and you can't look at him. The Bible says you can't look at God and live in the state you're in right now. Even Brother Hagin, when he got to see a vision of heaven, he saw God on the throne, and he started looking. Jesus said, don't look at his face. For some reason, you can't look at his face right at this moment. And he's humongous, and he's big. And Jesus is about 6 feet tall. He's, you know, a little bit bigger than me. But anyways, and that's Jesus. So take heed to the ministry. So that was an interesting and leadership development that people, you know, they have desires in their spirit. And don't let those desires go unchecked. You go ahead and say, hey, God put that in my spirit. If God put that in my spirit, then that's the way it is. Doesn't matter how you feel, whether you have money, whether you don't have money, how it looks. Amen. Who cheated you? Who hurt you? Who did you wrong? Where you were born? Doesn't matter. Amen. What matters is God loves me and he's helping me right where I'm at and I'm moving forward. So the first checkup that we have is check up on your word. How much word do you have on the inside of you? Do you got some word? When something happens in your life, what comes forth right out of your mouth? Is it the negativity? And that's easy. This is for everybody because always there's going to be circumstances and things that can happen in our life and then all of a sudden we just say exactly how it is. You know, whatsoever you desire when you pray, you believe that you receive it. Whosoever shall say and shall not doubt. And a lot of times we have things in our hearts and in our lives and we're saying things just the way they are. No, God didn't say you see the thing the way it is and that's what you speak. No, he said say what I say. Because God says it, that's why we hold fast to it. Because his word says it. So we got to have the full supply of the word of God. Topped up, filled up. With the word of God. So if somebody offends you, guess what? No, I don't take an offense. I don't take offense. Imagine carrying a fence and you're carrying it. I'm not going to carry around a big fat fence because somebody offended me. No. Does it hurt? Yes, it hurts. But then I immediately go to Jesus. Was Jesus ever hurt? Hey, how would you like to get spit in the face? How would you like to have a beard like Pastor Steve and someone pull it off? Grab it and yank it. Jesus went through those tests. He went through those trials. He went through those temptations. He was lonely at times. If you ever felt lonely, guess what? Jesus knows that. The Bible says he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So that means that he knows everything we go through. That's a loving Jesus. It's a precious, loving Jesus. Not a judgmental Jesus that says, no, you should be far off, better than what you are. No, Jesus loves me just the way I am. Amen? And he's caring for me right now. Hallelujah. Not just when you get to Oprah on the show. No, before that, he loves you. Amen? He cares for you right where you're at, right in your present situation. So check up on your word. It's just all the problems, the tests, and the trials giving you the words that come out of your mouth. No, you want to have God's word coming out of our mouth. And the greatest fight of faith you'll ever have is when you feel all is against, but yet you're speaking the word of God. Amen? I didn't say that I'm healed because I feel healed. I say I'm healed because God's word says I'm healed. Amen? He says that he took my infirmities. He bare my sicknesses. 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Psalms 119, 187 is the longest psalm in the Bible. Everybody say the longest psalm. So that's the longest psalm in the whole Bible. The thing is long. But I started looking at that thing and just bada boom, bada bang, steady. He talks about the words, the laws, the instructions, the testimonies, the commands, the precepts, the statutes, the judgments, the ways. Always God's talking about things that he has implemented, that he has spoken, and that he has said himself. The creator of the universe is telling us how we're to live and how we're to function with his word. Amen? I believe one person you may believe is your mother. Eh? So I believe my mother. But guess what? Sometimes she can stretch the truth. Or maybe she forgot about an event and she said something. And then she said, oh, that story was actually this other person. But guess what? God and his word are always the truth. That means that you can hang on to it. You can ride it like you ride a horse. Amen? You can go to town with it. You can believe God with it because it's God's word. He is not human. Yes, Jesus was human, lived the most perfect, blameless life, died for humanity, rose up from the dead on the third day, and ascended up into heaven. What a Jesus. What a Savior, and what a Lord. That's awesome. But all of us, guess what? He desires the very best for us, and you should always look to the very best that God has for your life. But guess what? Sometimes humans could speak words that aren't true, but God will always speak the truth. He is not a man that he should lie. That's God's word right there. Not the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and will he not do it? And has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Amen? He always wants to make it good, but he wants us to believe him. So God's words are always yes and amen. They're always true. Proverbs 6, verse 2 says, you are snared with the words of your mouth. Sometimes we could be snared with the words of our mouth. And I know I've got some construction going on in the basement. And guess what? Sometimes when you're paying for this, paying for that, paying for this, paying for that, you can have a negative slant on things, eh? You could say, well, you got to buy this, and you got to buy that. And then you could say, you know, about how much money you need. But guess what? God is a faithful God. Can I have some water? Too much dust in that basement. Excuse me. Okay, let's change the subject. Anyways. So when things are going good, guess what? We all got a good confession, eh? Your body's healthy. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, you got problems believing for healing? Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, it's good to be healed, you know. You got lots of money. Oh, my God supplies all my needs. Yeah. You got good thinking. Oh, what, you don't have the mind of Christ? You got a problem. La, 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 la. I'm such a good thinker. Instead of being bombarded with negativity and all kinds of thoughts, that's the fight of faith. And that's what we are, faith people. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So that means that when you step it up a notch and you turn the tables on your confession and you start saying things in line with God's word, with his will and with his plan, guess what? You're checking up on yourself. You say, thank you, Father, that you're a good God. Thank you, Father, you got plans and purposes. Thank you, Father, for this church, that you have blessed this church. This church is blessed. Amen. Thank you for this city, that the city is blessed. Thank you for those in government, that you bless them and help them. Give them wisdom so they can help us better. Amen. Instead of torturing us. We want to pray for them, and we want to bless them. And so you start using God's word. But it's only a fight of faith when it goes against everything you feel and everything that it looks like. Then it's a fight of faith because you have to go against the grain. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend unto my words. Incline your ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So God's word brings health. God's words brings life. Amen? So that's the words. We check up on our word supply. We always want to say, I want to have a good word supply in us. I want to have a full supply of God's word. So when a test, when a trial, when a temptation comes my way, I could say, this is what God's word says. Amen? Like our brother who fell and got hurt in his leg. He said immediately, the first thing that came forth was the word of God. And we have to always have the word of God in full supply. Don't start putting yourself down, even though it's true, even though the pain is there. But if you just talk about your pain, guess what? That's what you're going to have. I told my people they can have what they say, but they're saying what they have. That was Charles Capp's words. I told my people they can have what they say, but they're saying what they have. Now, that's a very strong statement, and you have to write it down and think about it for a long time because before it soaks in and sinks in. But I told my people they can have what they say, but they're saying what they have. And so we want to say God's word. We want to continually speak God's word. So the second checkup is check up on my confession. So we have to confess God's word. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and the high priest of our confession. And that's the ASV translation. And it says here, Jesus Christ, the high priest of our confession. So Jesus is in heaven and he's listening. He's listening to us and he's waiting. What's he going to say? And this is, of course, funny. Because we've heard it several times. You know, we talk about Brother Hagin like we know him personally. I had a couple cases. I went and I shook his hand, and he looked at me, and then he went his way. I saw that. And then once I pulled up my car beside him, and he looked at me. And then I had a dream about him, and we were walking down a path. And then there was a fork in the road, and I went this way, and he went that way, and he waved. And that was communication with Brother Hagin, but all his books, when you read them, but he tells about Jesus appearing to him. And why, how could you talk to Jesus for an hour and a half at one time? So that is not normal, to talk to Jesus like we talk to him in the spirit right now. We're talking to Jesus, we communicate with him. We don't see him with our natural eyes. But in this, he had a discerning of spirits, and he saw into the spiritual realm, and he's talking to Jesus. And Jesus says, I want to talk to you about devils, demons, and evil spirits. And there's a book by Brother Hagin. He wrote about that, devils, demons, and evil spirits. Pastor Roma taught about it. And so he's talking directly to Jesus, looking Jesus right in the face. And all of a sudden, this little imp monkey-looking, not a monkey, but a monkey-like demonic force, little fellow. He comes there and he starts going yakety, 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 yak, and has a smoke screen too, and all kinds of smoke. And Brother Hagin is listening to Jesus, and all of a sudden he can't see Jesus, and he's thinking to himself, why doesn't Jesus say something to that devil and shut him up? Because I need to hear the message that's being said. I need to know the message. What's he saying? This is critical. I need help. he's talking to Brother Hagin, and here that little imp and monkey-like thing is yakking and smoking and all kinds of screaming. And finally, he got fed up. He said, in the name of Jesus! And that thing just fell to the ground. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. And the thing ran off. Then Jesus, all of a sudden, you could see his voice. You could see his lips moving before, but now his voice is talking. And Jesus said to Brother Hagin, if you wouldn't have did anything about that, I couldn't have. And he said, I didn't hear you right. You wouldn't have? He said, I couldn't have. He said, I didn't hear you right. And then finally he got so mad. Jesus, you know, we are made in the image of God, okay? And this is just a story. This is Brother Hagin's story. This is not the Bible. But I did hear about Jesus making a whip and going in the temple and starting slamming things around. So if you got a little bit of a hot temper, hey, you're in a good category. No. All of a sudden everybody starts fighting. But Jesus said, but I told him he would. And he said that to Jesus' eyes shot like little fire, little flames of fire. And Brother Higgins says, okay, I understand. He says, if you went to did anything to that little, said anything, I couldn't have. Isn't that a something? That God's hands were tied, they were limited. That gives mankind a big opportunity to really have a will, eh? You don't have to sit here. You don't have to listen. But guess what? You chose to sit. You chose to listen. You submitted yourself. When I submitted myself to God, I was around 20 years old. And it was hard to submit because I like people. You know those friends? Oh, they're going to really help you, eh? When trouble comes, they're nowhere to be seen. But anyways, but I humbled myself. And I said, oh, God, you know, I accept you. That's a humbling, that's a breaking process of a human will to say, I surrender my life to God's life. And to say, no, I'm going to accept what you did for me. That's humbling. And so it takes that when you're working with Jesus. He likes that you humble yourself. And then you can start receiving from him. Not that you walk around like a dog beat up with the tail between his legs, but you humbled yourself. You've submitted yourself to him. So Jesus said, no, if you wouldn't have said anything to that, if you wouldn't have did anything, nothing would have been done. And so that gives us authority. Jesus gave us power and authority over devils, demons, and evil spirits. So when those people say, I can't break this habit, guess what? That's a lie. You're listening to a demonic force that's saying that you can't break it. No, it can be broken in the name of Jesus. Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I call myself free. I call it because Jesus said it. Amen? And we start to get in line with what God's word says. And so we got to check up on our confession. He's the high priest of our confession, and he's waiting for us to use our words. Amen? He wants us to have the word of God. He also wants us to have a good, strong confession. A good, strong confession. I like also at the meeting, it was funny that one individual, we did our projects, say, in the leadership, and this is our, you know, vision, this is our goal. And, you know, things are great, things are awesome. Look at that picture. Wow, look at all those things. This is super. And then I just said a little joke at the end there. I said, okay, well, let's go back to Grumble Alley now. And he says, well, that's your confession. And so that was funny because that's good. He heard my word. And I said, thank you. That's good. I don't want to go back to Grumble Alley. Amen. I want to go back to Blessed Alley. Amen. Amen. So we want to catch our own lives and our own words, what we say about it. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast our confession or our profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful who promised. God is faithful who promised. And another checkup, this is our last checkup. We've got checked up on our word. We checked up on our confession. We've got to check up on our love walk. Everybody say our love walk. Now that's going to be tested and tried all the time because there's always tests when it comes to walking in love. Now walking in love is not lust, okay? Because a couple, they get together, you know, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. No, my Bible clearly says that kind of love is for the birds. It'll go very quickly. It'll go very quickly. And after a while, all of a sudden, maybe you won't feel like you felt at first. Maybe this will happen. Maybe that will happen. But love, God's kind of love never fails. So if you never want to fail in your marriage, if you never want to fail, it's the God kind of love because it will never fail. The Bible says love will never fail. So we check up on our love walk. John 13, verse 34, it says, a new commandment. So Jesus gave us a commandment. He's talking now. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So God commands us to love one another. And so love is not just all mushy. No, there's principles in God's word that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loved humanity, 7 billion people on earth right now. God loves every single one of them. And he shed his blood for every single one of them. Well, he sacrificed his life. And he said, not my will, but your will be done. When Jesus came to the cross, he said, not my will, your will be done, Father. And so God loves us. And that's the kind of love that he's instilled in you. And when you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, guess what? That love is inside of you. The God's love is built inside of you. The Bible also says faith works by love. And so if you want your faith to work, guess what? You're going to have to activate it, and you're going to have to walk in love. And then if you think, well, I'm going to be mean to people and treat them bad, guess what? Your faith won't work. God wants our faith to work, and I want my faith to work. And so, again, we've heard from our instructor, Brother Hagin. He says, I never want to hold any ill feeling or any animosity against anyone about anything. That means just let it go. Amen? Let it go. Just drop it at the side and say, no, I want my faith to work. Because faith works by love. I'm going to walk in love. Amen? And guess what? Feelings will come. Feelings will come. Good, positive feelings will come. But you got to step out in faith first. Sometimes people want the feelings and they say, if I feel I'm healed, then I'm healed. No, it don't work like that. And the same thing with salvation. I want to feel I'm saved. No, you confess the Lord before and then the feelings come. It's always secondary, those feelings. Jacob was a man, or actually, Abraham, Isaac. Isaac was the one who went by feelings. And Isaac was an old man. And his son was coming to get the blessing. And he thought he was blessing one person. He thought he was blessing whatever the kid's name. There's Jacob and Isaac, I think it was. Esau. It was Esau. And he thought he was blessing Esau, his oldest son. And here it was Jacob. He put some goat skins on his hand. I don't know, put some of his brother's clothes on. He smelt just like him. And so when his dad was blessing him, he felt, he said, this must be my oldest son, Esau, because he's all hairy. I don't know what kind of kids they made back there. Who's got a hair like a goat? And then he smelled his clothes. Ah, he smells like the outdoors. Well, he was just wearing his brother's. He was mama's boy. He was in the kitchen. He should smell like dough. So he was in there, but he went by how he felt. See, he went by how he felt, and he was wrong. The Bible specifically says he went by how he felt, and Abraham, Isaac missed it that time because he went by how it felt. So what is love? Again, the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, love suffers long. Have you ever suffered long? Have you ever been tested and tried? Yes. The older you get, the more you've suffered. And it happens. So love suffers long and is kind. So it's good to be kind. Amen? It's good to be kind to a person, just to have some fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Those are all fruits of the Spirit, but just to be kind. I tell you, when a person is kind, how many of you want to bless a person that's kind? Yes. You see them and you want to bless a kind person. How many of you want to bless a mean person? No? Two people? Okay, well, you're walking in love there. That's good. So love is patient. Love is kind. Love envies not. Have you ever envied that beautiful vehicle in someone's yard? How about their beautiful trailer? There you go. How about their wife? Ooh. How about their husband? He's got big muscles. My husband doesn't have big muscles like that. How about their dog? We might have two dogs up for sale. Anyways, so it envies not. So every time you don't envy, you can appreciate them. Keith Moore, a good Bible teacher, he said you could appreciate what people have. And you can get one like it, but you can't covet them. There was even a ruler in the Bible. I think his name was Wicked Ahab. And Ahab was sulking one day. He said, his wife said, "What you sulking about? You're the king. Straighten up." And he says, "I like Nabob's." Nabob's field. I don't think his name is Nabob, but it's close. I like Nabob's field. I like his field over there. And she said, "Well, you're the king. Just go take it." And his wife was wicked. I don't know if you're in that kind of a case where one is more wicked than the other. No. But anyways, his wife was wicked, and she said, "Well, just go take it." And she went and had him killed. Nabob got killed in his own house, in his own yard. And then she said, and then she comes up to Ahab, "You're the king, go take it now, go take it." And then she went and took it. And guess what? The man of God, because God is all-seeing. Amen? He's all-seeing, he's all-knowing. He sent a little prophet. I don't know what the guy looked like, but the little prophet went over there, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord. The dogs are going to eat," not my dogs, but anyways, there's dogs. They're mean. The dogs are going to lick the blood of that king right on this very spot where he stole that. And guess what? As the Bible progresses and goes forward, there was a war. He got an arrow. The king got an arrow. He actually disguised himself, but someone just shot randomly. Whew! And the arrow hit the king in the shoulders. He said, "Take me back quick." And just got where his home was, his nice little area that he loved so much. And he died right there. And the Bible says the dogs came and licked the blood up there. So the word of the Lord is always true. What the word of the Lord says. So the moral of the story is don't covet. As we go back, it is don't covet your neighbor's land or their lots or whatever they got. Don't covet them. Just say, "Thank you, Lord. We'll get our own." Amen? So thank God for that. So envy is not, vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself rudely, seeks not her own, but always wants to seek the best of another, is not easily provoked. That's a good one. How many ever been provoked to evil? Been provoked? Maybe you wanted to punch somebody? I don't know. William, you want to punch anybody? No. But anyways, is provoked. It thinks no evil, is not easily provoked. There we go. Must be thinking about that dust again. Excuse me. I was thinking about David drinking water, and now I'm in the same shoes. So it's not easily provoked. That means he doesn't have buttons. Has anybody ever pushed a button that you have and it rattled your cage? Not that. So sometimes there's a button that can be pushed and then you get upset because you may be easily provoked. And so love is not easily provoked. Love is not easily provoked. So number one, we got to have a full checkup on our word. We got to check up our confession, and we've got to check up on our love walk. So it rejoices not in sin, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest is what? Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. The greatest of these is love. Thank you, Father, that we do some checkup this morning. And we want to thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let's all confess, thank you, Lord, for your word. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. I confess that you're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my deliverer. You're the one who sets me free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Thank you, Lord, that we're free. And thank you, Lord. Say, I walk in love. Whether anybody walks in love towards me, I'll walk in love towards them. Because I am following what Jesus wants. Thank you, Father. So we want to thank you that we obey you explicitly. We say thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And we thank you that you're the one who guides us and directs us through this life. And I thank you, Father, that the Spirit of God is here right now among us. And he ministers to hearts and to lives. I thank you. Spirit of the living God, we thank you that you are here with us. That you're enabling us and equipping us for everything that we go through in this life. We thank you. We bless you. Oh, let's worship him and thank him. Thank you, Lord God. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. That means the righteous have the ability to be bold because God is on the inside of them. Oh, we want to thank you. We sing songs of praise and worship unto you. We say thank you, Father, that you can open up our eyes to see and our ears to hear. All you desire for your people, for each one of us, we thank you that your plans are good. You said you've never had a bad plan. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, always plans to prosper you, plans to help you, and plans that you succeed. Thank you, Father. We humble ourselves this morning under the mighty hand of God, knowing that you'll exalt us in due time, that you're the one who'll bring to fruition our heart's desires, because you're a loving Father, a loving God. We hold fast our confession. We're saying that God is at work right now. We hold fast our confession that I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, a voice of a stranger I don't follow. I don't want to follow. Thank you for your word. For the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Oh, we thank you that the power of the presence of the Lord is here to heal them. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. With every head bowed, if you're here and you're sick and you want to be healed, put up your hand. If you're sick and you want to be healed, put up your hand. Hallelujah. If you're here and you're sick and you want to be healed, put up your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're here and you're sick and you want to be healed, put up your hand. Now, those with their hands up, come on to the front, please. We're going to believe God that this is the time that you believe that you receive. Christians praying. You say that this is the time that I receive. I want you to say that. Say, this is the time that I receive. You know, pastor's preached on healing. He's preached on prayer. But there's a time where you have to say, I believe that I receive now. Amen. I believe that I receive now. Not waiting. Not saying, oh, if he's got anything. No, it's believe I receive now. Let's all say that again. Say, I believe that I receive now. Yes. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus looks for. He looks for faith, and he looks for it right now. Those that wait tomorrow, I'll give my life to God tomorrow. You know, sometimes tomorrow never comes. They don't have another opportunity because faith is now. Hey, believe. Our sister believes right now in the name of Jesus. Receive it right now. The sickness goes in Jesus' name now. Hallelujah. Our brother, the sickness goes now in Jesus' name. The sickness goes now for our sister in Jesus' name now. In Jesus' name now. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name now. In Jesus' name now. Hallelujah. Now. Say now. Say now. Say now. Like you mean it. Now. Thank you, Lord. Yes. In Jesus' name, right now. Hallelujah. And this is the point that it makes the most sense. You raise your hands and you say, thank you, Lord. Say, thank you, Lord. That I believe. Right now. Now I have my healing. Right now I have my healing. I was just listening to a story about an individual with the leg that was all bent up. And he was to say, my leg is straight in Jesus' name. Call that leg straight in Jesus' name. And he says, he wouldn't do it. Finally, he obeyed. And he said, okay, I call my leg straight. He said, say it like you mean it. I call my leg straight. I call it straight. I call it straight. I call it straight. I call it straight. And then he started running because his leg was straight. He called it. Amen. And so this is the time for you to come here. That this is, I believe, the moment. Amen. I believe right now. I call it healed in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. And I thank you, Father, that the power of the Lord is present to heal. That you said it. And we believe it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's all lift up our hands and let's thank God. Let's thank God for these that they are believing, they are receiving right now. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Pastor Omar, he said, you pray. You pray for the sick. Amen. And so this is his house. He said, pray. And we prayed and we thank you. So let's lift up our hands again and let's thank him. Thank you, Father, that we believe that they receive right now. Hallelujah. Now is the day, and we want to thank you that faith is now, and we've activated it. We believe you, and it's our place. You know, the Bible says, and they shall have it. Amen? When they pray, they believe that they receive it, and they shall have it. Guess what? You can't have it on yourself, but guess what? God's the one that has it for you. Amen? And we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that we believe that they receive now. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, God is good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. His mercy endures throughout all generations. And we want to thank God for these. And we believe that they receive right now. You know what really also what is kind of irritating is that sometimes people say, you know, I was touched. The word that you said, it spoke to my heart. You know, I've heard Pastor Roma, he called out sicknesses. And then they come the next day, they come to the office or they call in, they say, did you know that was me that you were talking about? And I'm well. Because it would have been, if they would have activated it right there and then, guess what? It'd bring more of a blessing unto people. Amen. So if the Lord's touched you in some way, you let someone know. Amen. And we thank God. Again, there's no service tonight. But have a good holiday tomorrow with those that you have a day off. And again, Wednesday at 7 p.m. God bless you and have a wonderful Sunday. Amen. Bless you. Bless you.